Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time here on this Monday, May 4th, 2020. And before I proceed, you guys know this is the holiday for Star Wars fans out there. May the 4th be with you. Of course, that's a direct pun from the movie Star Wars, the Star Wars franchise, the famous line. May the Force be with you. Luke, may the Force be with you. So they've turned May the 4th into an annual holiday. Awesome, awesome stuff. I am not like the biggest Star Wars fan. I mean, you know, some people you'll come across and they're like just Star Wars dorks, right? I mean, they love it. They know every movie, the order and the storylines and the characters. And shout out to our very own Jamie Paisley, one of our fantastic classical musical host. This is a fantastic job. Two-man team alongside Jody Knoll. Jamie Paisley. We have offices right next to each other. Jamie's office, my office, and then Jody's office, all right next to each other. And, you know, I miss being around my coworkers. Of course, most, if not all of us, are like confined to our homes right now, producing shows from our homes, and Jamie is of course at home, and I haven't seen him in a long, long time, and I missed the brother. But you know, Jamie is like the biggest Star Wars fan I've ever met in my life. And for me, prior to meeting Jamie, I hadn't watched the Star Wars films of the 80s, and he let me borrow, and I know how tough this had to be for him. He let me borrow those films that he has on DVD, and he just, you know, he just made me promise that I wouldn't scratch them. So, and I took very, very good care of them. I think it was like, what, maybe like 3 years ago now? Like the holiday. I remember it was Christmas time because, you know, I was just at home and, you know, back at home in Detroit with my grandmother, and I just popped them in. She didn't watch. She would fall asleep on every single one of them. But I got the chance to watch those Star Wars films of the 80s that really spearheaded the popularity of the franchise to what it is today. So, thank you, Jamie. And I must say, I see what the hype is all about. Very good storyline. Shout out to one of the wealthiest men in the world due to the Star Wars franchise, the great George Lucas. May the 4th be with all of you Star Wars dorks. Okay? All right. To all of my sports dorks out there, because that's why you tune into WKAR's Current Sports on a day-by-day or a week-by-week basis. We appreciate you. We love you. You guys tune in because you love sports, and we got a lot to talk about on today's show. Primarily, though, you know, with everything going on with the coronavirus pandemic, you know, we're not talking live sports, of course. You know, we're not breaking down games because games aren't taking place. We are constantly talking about postponements and when we could see leagues resume. It looks as though it's still going to be a while, even though, as you'll hear in just a moment in our current sports quick hit headliners, the NFL is still clinging on to hope that everything is going to be all peachy and they will be actually releasing its schedule this week. But yeah, I mean, come on, man. Even though we are seeing some states open up things slowly, it's still going to be a while before we see live sports take place. And if we do see live sports take place, there won't be fans. And they will need to be tested. Those athletes and coaches and anybody involved will need to be tested on the regular. So I still think we're a long way away, even though the NFL is saying that, yeah, we're still sticking to our schedule. I'll bring that story to you in just a moment. But, you know, we're not breaking down live sports. So what we've been doing every Monday here on WKAR's Current Sports is breaking down the Sunday night that was in the Last Dance documentary. It's a docuseries, 10-part docuseries, centered on the Chicago Bulls 1997-1998 season. That was the last dance for Michael Jordan, the GOAT, and his fellow teammates and coaching staff of the Chicago Bulls dynasty of the 90s. And it's really cool because it isn't just focusing on that season. It's focusing on everything that led up to that season, recapping the Bulls dynasty, which began really in 1984, if you really look at it, when the Bulls chose Michael Jeffrey Jordan to be the franchise. And it's just been really cool looking back at everything that has happened, you know, that happened, during that time with the Chicago Bulls. So last night were episodes 5 and 6. And again, every Monday we've been recapping the night that was that Sunday. Episodes 5 and 6 covered a ton. And I got a few things I am going to touch upon. And I want to let you guys know this. You know, I've also been going live on my Instagram page, my personal Instagram page. I try to go live before and after. I've gone live after each and every Sunday night that the episodes have aired. I missed last night's Instagram Live before the episodes, but I went live after for about 40 minutes. And, you know, I want to give a big shout out to two special guests that I invited to go on my Instagram Live with me after last night's 5 and 6 episodes. And, you know, if you want to check it out, you can follow me on Instagram. It's still live right now. It'll be up, you know, I think it's up for 24 hours, so it'll be up until like 11 p.m. tonight. But if you follow me on Instagram at Al, so that's Al3SPN, Al3SPN. If you follow me there, you can go to my live and you can check out the session that I had with two special guests, those special guests being my childhood homie, who was like a brother to me. He's like family. Clausell Washington. It was great having him on. We growing up, though, we know him as Marcel. So Cell came on, and he joined me to talk about last night's episodes. You know, Cell and myself, you know, we are like the biggest Michael Jordan fans ever. So I got his perspective from a fan's perspective, you know, watching those shows, just like me, it's from a fan perspective as well. It's not like I covered Mike during those 90s. But we had a great conversation about, you know, how this documentary is making an impact on the younger generation that really didn't get a chance to see Mike play, which that's a generation I'm a part of. But I was also educated due to how crazy big of a Michael Jordan fan my stepfather is. And I also invited my stepfather on last night's Instagram Live session. My stepdad, Lawrence Payne, Low Payne. And we talked about, you know, his fandom for Jordan and how he introduced me to Mike with those highlight videos of Airtime and Playground and Come Fly With Me and Above and Beyond. And it was just really cool having both of them on to share in that moment. And I may make it a weekly thing having both of them on because they know so much about MJ and they really help my fandom when it comes to the GOAT. So on today's Current Sports, I'm going to recap last night's episodes 5 and 6, so you don't want to miss that. There's a lot to cover, and then I'll have weekend winners for you to end the show. All right. So if you would like to be a part of the show, you guys know that you cannot call in. I don't know how many times I have to say that because I still have listeners actually trying to call in on a day-to-day basis. And it's like I've said it 1,000 times. You can't call in until after things go to some kind of normal, which is going to be a while. But you can text us, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number that you can text. You can leave us a comment at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR or tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next, though? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Okay, let's start here. The Big Ten Conference announced today that it will extend the previously announced suspension of all organized team activities through June 1st and will reevaluate again at that time. So again, just a lot of postponements, a lot of extensions to previous postponements. That's what the sports world is riddled with right now. So the Big Ten Conference releasing today that it will extend the suspension of all organized team activities through June 1st. This is an additional measure to the previously announced cancellation of all conference and non-conference competitions through the end of the academic year, including spring sports that compete beyond the academic year. The conference also has previously announced a moratorium on all on- and off-campus recruiting activities for the foreseeable future. The Big Ten Conference says that it will continue to use this time to work with the appropriate medical experts and institutional leadership to determine the next steps relative to the COVID-19 pandemic. So that was announced today, the Big Ten extending that cancellation. Okay, or suspension, I should say. Okay, Michigan State football continues to do work. I feel like every week I'm bringing you recruiting news from the camp of Mel Tucker. But the Spartans landed their 10th commit for 2021. Last week, the end of last week, when cornerback Chuck Brantley announced his pledge via Twitter, the Venice High product is their second secondary player from Florida in the class, joining safety Gabe Neely from Miami. Now, Brantley picked the Spartans over Florida State, where returning MSU corners coach Harlan Barnett had spent the past two seasons as defensive coordinator. He also had offers from Indiana, Maryland, Rutgers, Pitt, Virginia, Washington State, and a slew of others. The 6 foot, 160-pound Brantley is a three-star recruit who is ranked as the number 41st corner and 557th best player nationally. That's according to 247 Sports. And the site ranks all 10 of Michigan State's 2021 recruits as three-star prospects. Brantley is the highest rated of the Spartans' commitments so far. So there you have that. Mel Tucker and his staff continuing to do work. I think that Harlan Barnett had a lot to do with that commit, as I stated. All right, Shea Patterson will continue his football career with the Super Bowl champions. How about that? The former Michigan football QB, who wasn't picked during the NFL draft last month, he signed with the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday. Patterson's agent, who is Brian Ehrlich, announced the transaction on Twitter. In Kansas City, Patterson will try to carve out a spot on the roster behind 2018 NFL MVP Patrick Mahomes. The 2017 first-round draft pick passed for 4,031 yards and 26 TDs last season and led three comebacks in the playoffs to win the Super Bowl. So we all know Patrick Mahomes barring injury, is the guy out in Kansas City. We'll see if Shea Patterson can land some kind of backup role there. All right, news coming out of the camp of the Detroit Lions, as the Detroit Lions have decided to decline the fifth-year option on linebacker Jarrett Davis's contract. That's according to a report by the NFL Network. The Lions had until Monday's deadline to officially decide whether to exercise the option worth about $10 million on Davis's contract for 2021. So today being the deadline, Davis, who is 24 years old, signed a four-year contract worth about $10.96 million after the Lions made him the number 21st overall pick out of Florida in 2017. He is due to make $1.9 million in base salary this season. The Lions did not draft a linebacker this year to take Davis's place, but his replacement as middle linebacker could be Jelani Tavai, whom the Lions drafted in the second round of last year. They also signed Reggie Ragland in free agency. So we'll see how this thing plays out. And I'm waiting for Davis to have a big year. In my opinion, Jarrett Davis has underperformed since becoming a member of the Honolulu Blue. But we'll see if he can have a breakout season this upcoming year. I'm still having faith in him. I still love what the players and the coaches say concerning his leadership. All right. And more news coming out of the NFL. The NFL will call off its annual international series games in London and Mexico City this year amid the coronavirus pandemic. League sources told that to ESPN. The league will inform teams of its decision either today or Tuesday. A league source told ESPN's Adam Schefter on Sunday that he doesn't, quote, think any international games are coming this year, end quote. The NFL will release its full 17-game regular season schedule this week, as I stated. The league was set to hold four games in London and one in Mexico City this season. So the NFL has said, at least, no international games. However, the NFL, with it set to release its full schedule, including preseason games at the end of this week, without any major adjustments for the possible impact caused by the coronavirus pandemic, it's still business as usual for the NFL. There are no modified dates, according to many, many sources out there. They are still putting in these dates with the full expectation that there will be NFL football. So this is what NFL League spokesperson Brian McCarthy told ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, quote, "We plan to start on time. If we have to make adjustments, we will be prepared to do so based on the latest guidance from our medical experts and public health officials and current and future government regulations," end quote. Now, the NFL regular season opener will be set for September 10th, while the Super Bowl will be still scheduled for February 7th in Tampa, Florida. The league is expected to release its schedule, again, by May 9th. So, by the end of this week on Saturday, we will know what the NFL schedule looks like, but don't bet the house that that won't be modified. All right, the Detroit Pistons will have to continue waiting to find out which pick they'll have in the 2020 NBA draft. You know why? Well, that is because the NBA on Friday postponed the draft lottery scheduled for May 19th and also the draft combine scheduled for May 21st to the 24th in Chicago. That news was told to USA Today Sports. Now, the person requested anonymity because he was not authorized to speak publicly until an official announcement is made. The league's board of governors voted to postpone those events on a conference call, but stopped short of postponing the draft, which is scheduled for June 25th. However, with the league suspended because of the pandemic and no firm plan or timeline to resume the season, it is expected that the NBA will have to change the date of the NBA draft as well. And what kind of ripple effect that could have on those who are testing the waters, like an Aaron Henry, right? Or like a Xavier Tillman, you know, what that will do to their respective timeline when it comes to deciding whether or not they will return to Michigan State to play basketball or head to the NBA, we just don't know. We don't know. Will there be an extension there? We don't know. So the NBA right now having to postpone things, and, you know, last week I brought to you the story of the possibilities and the options that the NBA are toying with in trying to resume the season. I just don't know how realistic they are. You know, if you do this thing, again, it was rumored, it is being rumored that the NBA is flirting around with the idea of going to Disney World and housing NBA players that way. And, you know, the key there is a multitude of tests, having tests at the ready. But the NBA has already come out that it and said that it has no interest in taking away tests to resume the season. Taking away tests that could be used for people like you and I, the general public, as we try to get this pandemic under control and continue to flatten the curve. The NBA has no interest in taking away those tests. If there are enough tests available for them to test its athletes while also not causing any strain to those in the public, then cool. But again, tests are still a problem here in America. So just a lot of what ifs out there right now. Also, when it comes to college sports and the NCAA, the NCAA says the ability to assess immunity on a college campus and have, quote, reliable, rapid diagnostic testing available for anyone suspected of having the coronavirus are key. Key principles for restarting college sports, that's according to a document released Friday from the NCAA. Now, the requirements released by the NCAA and put together by its COVID-19 advisory panel of medical and public health experts weaves together the White House's, quote, opening up America again, end quote, guidelines with how they apply to a campus and college sports setting. Key among the 9 core principles of resocialization of collegiate sport is that universities should have plans for temperature checks, testing, isolating, and contact tracing, and acquiring adequate protective equipment for athletics healthcare providers. So there's a lot that has to be set in stone and set in place in order for us to feel comfortable that sports can return to our daily lives. And last but not least, certainly not least, very sad news coming out of the sporting world, particularly the football world out there, as just before I hit the airwaves for today's show, I learned of this news that Don Shula, the NFL's most winningest coach, who led the Miami Dolphins to the league's only undefeated season, he sadly passed away today at the age of 90. The Dolphins issued a statement confirming Shula's death. This is what that statement read, quote, Don Shula was the patriarch of the Miami Dolphins for 50 years. He brought the winning edge to our franchise and put the Dolphins and the city of Miami in the national sports scene. Our deepest thoughts and prayers go out to Marianne, along with his children, Dave, Donna, Sharon, Ann, and Mike. Shula won an NFL record 347 games, including the playoffs. He coached the Dolphins to that 17-0 record. That was, again, the league's only undefeated season back in 1972, culminating a 14-7 dub over the Washington Redskins in the Super Bowl. Rest in peace, Don Shula. Certainly a major name in the sporting world. All right, folks, that will do it for your current sports quick hit headliners. If you would like to be a part of the show again, you can text us, not call, at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment there if you want to weigh in that way. And you can also hit us up on Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, I'll give you my takeaways on what we saw in episodes 5 and 6 last night in The Last Dance, profiling Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls dynasty of the 90s. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, shout out to all of the Star Wars dorks out there. May the 4th be with you. And look, don't get offended when I say dork. I'm a big dork. I'm a sports dork. Dork is a cool word in my dictionary, all right? happy Star Wars Day to all of you Star Wars fans, folks. Okay, for all of my sports fans out there, The Last Dance episodes 5 and 6 were compelling on so many different levels. We learned so much, I think. I learned so much about Mike that I didn't know, but I kind of already knew, if you know what I mean. Just providing more context and more background to some of these stories. First off, I'll start here. I want to address the Kobe Bryant tribute that began episode 5 from last night. And we got some behind-the-scenes footage presented to us to start that episode from the 1997-1998 NBA All-Star Game. And it showed Kobe Bryant, that tribute to Kobe Bryant, especially when the show, when the episode began, you know, in loving memory of Kobe Bryant. I mean, you know, how touching was that? You knew it was going to pull on your heartstrings a bit because it is still very surreal. 2020 has not been kind to us. And it is pretty surreal that we began the year with the loss of Kobe Bryant and his beautiful daughter, Gigi, who was set to take the WNBA world by storm. We lost Kobe and his daughter, Gigi. Gigi actually would have celebrated a birthday just a few days ago. But we lost them earlier this year, along with, you know, the other lives lost in that helicopter crash. So it was just so surreal to see Kobe sitting there on the couch doing an interview for this documentary, talking about how much Michael Jordan impacted his game and his life, looking at Mike as a big brother. And seeing that footage of a 19-year-old Kobe Bryant go up against Michael Jordan in Jordan's prime, them talking some trash here and there, and then that moment of Kobe Bryant bent over, his hands on his shorts, just like Mike, those two next to each other, just talking, and Kobe giving insight, which he has in previous years about what that conversation was about. And it was about, you know, how Mike gets elevation on his jump shot and the mechanics of that fadeaway, which is just unbelievably cool. But, you know, there was still just so much reaction to that Kobe Bryant tribute to start the episode last night. I mean, so many people, you know, putting out tweets about that moment. Jamal Crawford of the NBA, quote, "It will never feel real. Kobe isn't here with us." Then Trae Young putting out there, you know, Trae Young looked at Kobe as one of his mentors. They were very, very close. And that was actually Gigi Bryant's favorite NBA player, Trae Young, who balls out for the Atlanta Hawks. Quote, "Kobe was my MJ." He tweeted that out last night. And then just so many people out there just still, you know, already started crying at Philip Dean, at Worldwide Wob. when that locker room scene was filmed, Kobe had only been in the league for 1.5 years, and the entire Eastern Conference All-Star team was already telling stories about playing against him. Yeah, that was a really cool scene, seeing Michael Jordan in the locker room talk amongst his NBA All-Star Eastern Conference teammates about how dynamic of a player Kobe Bryant was, and how he's just like, look, I'm just going to take over the game. And then that was accompanied with footage of Magic Johnson coming in and dapping up Michael Jordan. And then you had a moment between Magic, Larry, and Michael. Larry Bird was the coach of that NBA All-Star Eastern Conference team. Because a lot of people forget, I mean, Larry Bird wasn't a bad coach in the league, to be honest with you. You know, you see that a lot sometimes with former players who try their hand at coaching, cough, cough, Isaiah Thomas, and cough, cough, Michael Jordan, even though he's not the coach, but he's like, you know, a part owner of he's the majority owner of the Charlotte Hornets, and they're not that good. Not that good, man. There aren't a lot of former players who have success in upper management or in coaching in the NBA, but Larry Bird wasn't bad. Again, he was the head coach of that NBA Eastern Conference All-Star team in 97-98 as head coach of Reggie Miller and the Indiana Pacers. So, but yeah, just to start off, you know, it was really emotional seeing that. Really emotional seeing that, because it still does not feel real that Kobe Bryant is not with us. But Kobe, you know, sitting down on that couch and talking with, you know, the producers of the documentary, stating that, you know, he gets uncomfortable when people try to compare him and Mike, you know, who would have won in one-on-one. He basically deaded that conversation and said that, you know, there would be no 5 NBA titles. There would be no Kobe Bryant if it wasn't for Michael Jordan. And Michael was a mentor of his who he hit up all the time and talked to, and was a big part of his success on how to deal with, you know, being an NBA superstar and the mechanics of being an elite player in the league and having that killer instinct, that killer mindset. So that was very, very cool to see. And then they got into the Nike brand, you know, and we knew that was coming based on the previews. But, you know, to see the story, the behind the scenes story, because I didn't know, I had heard about the specifics. And if you haven't seen the 30 for 30 ESPN documentary that profiled, oh my goodness, his name eludes me right now, but it was a 30 for 30 that profiled just how big the sneaker business had become and has become in basketball. And, you know, because he told the story. It's called actually Sonny Vaccaro. How did Sonny Vaccaro's name elude me? But Sonny Vaccaro, who's a big, big-time name in the world of basketball promotion and basketball sneakers, but Soul Man is the name of that 30 for 30 documentary. I had heard the story about, you know, Michael Jordan and how he ended up choosing Nike, but I didn't know that it was his mother that was the one that was like, baby, you going to take this, sit down with Nike, and just listen to at least what they have to say. Because Mike was an Adidas guy. You know, he wanted to go with the stripes. He had always been an Adidas guy, and when Nike came with their pitch, look, Nike is not the Nike that it is now. And a lot of the reason why Nike is the brand that it is now is because of Michael Jeffrey Jordan. But back in the 80s, back in 84, you know, as you heard in the doc, for those that watched it, Nike was looked at as just a track shoe company. That was it. Nike was not doing numbers like it is today. They weren't the brand that it is today. And frankly, I mean, if you look at Converse and Adidas, they had more successful brands. But they came with an amazing pitch as Michael and his parents sat down with Nike. There were pictures there shown of, you know, Nike welcoming Michael Jordan, and the pitch was amazing. And they were offering him, which was a lot of money at the time, they were offering him over $200,000 to be a part of the Nike Swoosh brand. And they would give him his own shoe, and they adopted that branding of, okay, this player, even though he plays a team sport, this player is his own brand. They gave Mike his own shoe, and their goal was $3 million for that year in sales, and they like more than quadrupled that. I forget what the amount is that they made in that first year, but it was astronomical. Astronomical. So, you know, that's when the Jordan brand like took off, and it really became what it is today. So it was really cool hearing that story and seeing the Like Mike commercial from the 90s, the Gatorade commercial. I mean, Michael Jordan became his own brand. And then, you know, the Dream Team footage, which I had already seen a lot of in the Dream Team documentary. Many basketball fans have already seen that. But to hear Magic Johnson tell of that legendary story, that legendary game story that they have footage of Magic Johnson and Michael going at it and saying that, you know, Michael yelling at Magic and saying, this ain't the 80s no more. There's a new king in town. And Magic yelling back that, look, I'm still the big dog here. And then they, you know, him baiting Mike and Mike taking it as a personal challenge and him going out there and just scoring bucket after bucket after bucket. And then, you know, them still talking trash and then Magic getting mad at the foul situation and throwing the basketball to the Raptors. Just legendary stuff, man. Legendary stuff. That was awesome to see and to hear, you know, Magic tell that story of, I didn't know the story of when they were on the bus and it was so intense. That's the thing about, you know, Anthony Iani, former Michigan State basketball player, who's a dear friend of the show. We always text back and forth about sports and other stuff. But we were texting last night about the documentary, and Ant immediately hit me up and said, you know, that's the difference, Al, between basketball today and basketball back in the day. Sure, the players back in the day, they went out and played golf and hung out, much like these athletes do today. But when they were on the court, it was pure hate, and the competitiveness was at a level that we have never seen since. And that's the thing, man. You don't see that level of competitiveness today in most of the NBA superstars. There are a few players who are like that. You know, one that comes to mind is Russell Westbrook. Russ is like that. Giannis Antetokounmpo is also like that. But for the most part, I mean, these guys are still just buddy-buddy all the time during competition. I just miss that cutthroat competitiveness from the 80s and the 90s, man. It was really, truly special. So, you know, it was very awkward on the bus after that intense game that Michael, you know, where Michael really showed that, yeah, there's a new king in town. And there was some awkward silence. And then Magic broke up the silence and everybody just kind of, you know, went back to being, you know, oh, this is so great. This is so great playing against each other, you know, in Barcelona. Oh, you know, Magic was the guy that broke that tension by saying, hey, Larry, I guess we shouldn't have got him angry. Oh, that's awesome. That just was an awesome, awesome story, man. And then to hear B.J. Armstrong, the point guard of, you know, the early 90s during that early run of the dynasty, B.J. to say that, you know, during the 1991-1992 season, he believed that was the best version of MJ to him because he saw Michael Jordan as more than a basketball player. He saw Michael Jordan as a winner. He was something different. He was finding out different ways to win, and that was the season that transformed Michael in terms of winning. Awesome, awesome to see. So, and apologies. You're probably, again, I'm doing the show from my apartment, as many of you know. You probably hear a guy out there manning the lawn right now. A weed whacker goes by as I'm talking about Michael Jordan's greatness. And I'm leaving this in because this is organic stuff right here. All right. If this doesn't put in perspective working at home, I don't know what does. I don't know if you can hear that. But yeah, it has come through. The weed whacker right outside my window. OK, moving along here. the gambling stuff. You know, I don't know about you, but it was quite refreshing, you know, to hear Michael address not just the gambling, quote unquote, issue that many people believe he had back in the 90s, but also something that is talked about still to this day in local barbershops, Michael Jordan's lack of social activism in our community, in the black community. He touched on both of those. And I love how open Michael has been about this whole thing. I mean, nothing is off limits. We have never seen Michael Jordan this open when it comes to this stuff. And let's be real here. You know, I tweeted this last night, man. I just had to get it off my chest because it just rubs me the wrong way. Because there is a racial component here, whether you want to address it or not. And I tweeted out there last night, look, let this be a lesson for all of my fellow black men who find themselves at the top in whatever field you are in. Be wary. Be cautious. Because as a black man in America who is successful, especially one like Michael Jordan, who was the greatest basketball player of all time at the height of his powers, people, sure, may celebrate your success. But after a while, you are going to have a lot of haters out there who want to see you fall. Simple as that. People will try to tear you down. Keep your circle tight because everyone loves to see the king fall, especially if you are a black successful man. Simple as that, man. And that and my perception of what we've been seeing in this documentary, especially those episodes from last night, touched on that very thing. I thought that people went after Mike and tried to make a big deal out of his gambling because they simply couldn't find anything else to pin him with. So they looked at his gambling, which, you know, last night, I mean, and you saw it last night, his teammates talking about it. Look, Michael Jordan betting thousands of dollars is like you and I, the common man and woman. That's like 10 bucks to him. It's nothing. I don't think he had a problem, you know, and you know, Magic said it, you know, he was quoted in saying last night during the docuseries that, look, you guys keep going at him. You guys being the media and the public who wanted to see Mike fall and wanted to see some negative stain on his name. You're going to drive him out the game. You're going to drive him out the game. Simple as that. And what we'll see in these next two episodes this coming Sunday is that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. I mean, you had Richard Esquinas putting out the book, Michael and Me, Our Gambling Addiction, My Cry for Help, when he talks about Michael owing him $1.2 million in a game of golf. Then you had the James Slim Buhler story. James Slim Buhler was a golf, he was basically a golf bettor who was known to be a slimy guy. He actually was arrested on drug and money laundering charges in which Michael Jordan had to testify in because they found a check made out to Slim for $57,000 from MJ due to them playing money on the golf course and Michael losing to Slim on the golf course. By the way, Slim, doesn't he look like a guy that needs to be a part of the Full Force crew back in the 80s? The Full Force group, that Jerry Curl was popping, wasn't it? But to me, I you know, I have to agree with Mike and others who were quoted in the documentary. It looked as though the public was just going at him, just trying to find something on him because he was Michael Jordan. I don't think Mike had a problem. And then Mike opening up about not endorsing, coming out and verbally endorsing Harvey Gantt, who was a politician at the time. Going against Jesse Helms, who was a known racist. Jesse Helms ended up winning that campaign. But, you know, Harvey Gantt was a black man who was trying to do some things in the community back in North Carolina, a politician in North Carolina. And it would have been nice to see Michael endorse Harvey Gantt. But, you know, him, you know, you know, being in his 20s at the time, you know, Michael not wanting to rock the boat because we all know how fragile success is as a black man. You don't want to rock the boat. You're trying to please everybody. The famous quote of Michael saying, look, Republicans wear sneakers too, that came up. And Michael addressed it and said that, look, at that time, I'm not focusing on being a politician. I'm not looking at myself as an activist. If you're looking at me to be that guy, then I'm sorry. Maybe I'm not your guy. And he did send Harvey Gantt a financial contribution. That wasn't, you know, publicized really at all. But the fact that, you know, Mike didn't come out and jump into the politics game, much like that of a Muhammad Ali, Mike isn't that guy, and he let that be known last night. And I get it, man. I get it. Look, you know, again, we do expect a lot of our black figures out there who have a platform to back our communities and be involved like that in social activism when you see something that is wrong. But at the end of the day, not everybody's like that. And in the black community, we have to realize that. Is it fair for every, you know, black celebrity, for us in the black community, to expect them to endorse and to be our champion in the social activism part? Is it fair to have that expectation? That's the debate. For me, I don't look for every black leader, every black celebrity to be our champion in that particular area, specifically politics. I look at Mike just like how he says he wants to be looked at. Simply as a great basketball player. That's it. That's it. But that debate will continue in the barbershops. And, you know, I'm going to have a guest on later on this week, and we're going to dive into that very topic. So you don't want to miss Current Sports later on this week. But those were my biggest takeaways. A lot to digest. If you haven't seen it, I'm sorry for hopefully spoiling it. Well, I'm sorry for spoiling it for you. Hopefully not too much. Check it out. Last night's two episodes were really riveting for a lot of different reasons that extend far beyond basketball. All right, so let's hit our final break. We just got a few more minutes left here in the hour. I'll close out the show with weekend winners. You are listening to the Monday, May the 4th be with you edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Just a few minutes left here in the hour. If you missed segment B, where I gave you my biggest takeaways from episodes 5 and 6 of the Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls documentary, The Last Dance, again, you can check out the podcast version of the show by simply going to WKAR.org. We close out each and every Monday edition of the show, though, with Weekend Winners, where we look at the weekend that was in the sporting world and beyond and bring to you who we felt had the best weekend. And for me, again, it's hard to choose weekend winners when there are no live sports taking place. But I do want to give a big shout out as one of my weekend winners to the Miami Dolphins, who have put together early plans for how to host fans in their stadium during the 2020 NFL year amid the pandemic. During a segment with Good Morning America, Dolphins CEO/president Tom Garfinkel revealed mock-ups of new entrances into Hard Rock Stadium that will help people adhere to social distancing guidelines. The mock-up including colored spots on the ground leading up to the entrance gates to designate the distance needed between fans as they file into the stadium. It's a plan not unlike what some restaurants have done for customers picking up takeout orders during the pandemic. But Garfinkel said his mock-up plan would include all fans wearing masks and ordering food from their seat, then going upstairs to pick it up rather than waiting in line for a concession. I really like this, and the reason why I'm including this in my weekend winners is because we're starting to see, this is the first time I'm really seeing an owner out there really putting together some plans that really get the wheels churning as to how we can invite fans back into venues when live sports do resume. I love this. Forward thinking and innovation have to be at the forefront right now, especially in the sporting world, if we want that release that is sports to take place in our lives. So I absolutely love that. So that's one of my weekend winners out there. And the other is definitely Don Shula. Made up my mind when I first heard the news prior to taking the airwaves today that Don Shula, the NFL's winningest coach, who led the Miami Dolphins to the league's only undefeated season, passed away today. I mean, can you have a weekend winner? You know, a weekend winner, including the winningest coach in NFL history. I think that's fitting right there. Don Shula, rest in peace. The game will miss you, my friend. Our world will miss you. All right, folks, that does it for this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We are now on a 23-hour break. Have a fantastic rest of your afternoon and evening. And as always, be smart, be safe, and be easy, people.